The Mishnah on Mem Amid Beis, which is the beginning of the chapter. This is really a chapter focused on the topic of the Masechta, idolatry. You know, we began the Masechta with the days before the holidays, then we spoke about items of the non-Jews, the wine of the non-Jews, it got into other items of the non-Jews. But now we deal really with the topic of idols. The Torah says, "Psilei Eloheihem tisrefu ba'esh." You shall burn the idols of their gods. Lo savito evoel beisecha. Do not bring an abomination into your home. Va'yisacherim kamo. Then you would be like it. You would be, you know, excommunicated. You would be banned. So we have a mitzvah to get rid of the idols. We have a mitzvah, certainly, that we can't get any benefit from the idols. Tisrefun ba'esh, we have to burn it in fire. So our first Mishnah talks about what is an idol. If you see an idol, should you assume that it's idolatrous, or maybe it's just a display of honor or something? So we'll see that the Mishnah is going to distinguish between tzlamim and avodah zarah. Tzlamim is the term for a statue which we're not 100% sure what its use is for. Maybe it's idolatrous, maybe it's not a religious act. And Avodah Zarah, that's, you know, the statues of the Avodah Zarah that we know are problems. So let's start with the Mishnah. Kol Tzlamim Asurin. The Mishnah says all the Tzlamim, even though these are statues that you're not 100% sure were used for Avodah Zarah, you can't get any benefit. Because Rabbi Meir says these statues get worshipped once a year. The sages disagree. They say, the statues that are prohibited are statues of a human form with a stick in his hand, an orb in his hand, or a bird in his hand, but if it's just a plain statue, that's not prohibited.
Rabbi, would it be like a statue of Columbus or Martin
exactly.
Luther King or something?
Well, it wouldn't be Martin Luther King, it would be of kings. So let's say a statue of Lincoln, right? Lincoln's memorial, or a statue of Queen Elizabeth, or King George.
And why not a Columbus or Martin Luther King?
So he wasn't a king, so he was just a simple person that's not being worshipped.
He has a holiday. Wrong one.
It's not the same thing. No, we're talking about the times of the Romans where they worshipped their leaders. The Caesars were king, were gods. Okay, we are in the Mishnah. So again, according to Rabbi Meir, all the statues are prohibited, even those that don't have an item in their hand. According to the Chachamim, only a statue with an item in its hand. But Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, not just the particular items of stick, bird, or orb, Av kol sheyesh biyado kol davar. Any statue with anything in its hand is already an idolatrous statue. So the Gemara now tries to figure out what's the nature of these statues. If Rabbi Meir is right that these statues are worshipped once a year, and I saw here in the footnote of the Masifta Gemara, it explained why, that basically it was all an aspect of the religion of the sun. They would worship the sun, they would worship nature, and the sun over the course of the year is in different spots. So when the sun is shining on this spot, let's say, you know, it's the day of the year when the sun rises at 5:38, so at a particular spot, there'll be sunrise there. There'll be sun there at 5:38. So that day, they would worship in that spot. So every spot, you know, would have a day. The next day, already it's the sun's rising somewhere else. So there'll be a different item would be worshipped. So if we're talking about such a thing where it's all, everything gets worshipped once a year, so then how could the Chacham disagree? My time of the Rabbanan, why would the Chacham say that if the statue doesn't have something in its hand, a stick, a bird, or an orb, it's not prohibited, but it's worshipped once a year? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Yosef. Answer the name of Rabbi Yochanan. B'mkom Moshe Rabbi Meir Yovdenosa Pamachas Bashana. In Rabbi Meir's locale, they would worship these plain statues once a year. Rebbe Meir d'chayish l'miyuti. Rebbe Meir, we know, generally feels that a minority is very significant. You have to pay attention to it. If you have a 10% chance of something happening, that's also something you have to be worried about. So therefore, Gazer Shar Makamos Atu Oso Makom. That's why, because he's worried about a minority, so he's pretty quick to make decrees. So he makes a decree, any statue, wherever it is, it's prohibited to get any benefit from it, because if we would allow people to get benefit from plain statues, then maybe when they'd come to Rebbe Meir's town, where the statues are worshipped once a year, they would take benefit from those statues, and those statues are already Avodah Zarah. But the Rabbanan, they're not suspect. They don't give much credence to small minorities. Therefore, other places, most places where you have a plain statue, and the plain statue is, you know, of some ruler, so it's not idolatrous. So because in Reb Meir's place they worship those statues once a year, they're not worried about that minority. They're not going to prohibit all statues because of that statue. I'm Rav Yehuda, Mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, explain further the name of Shmuel. What are these statues? Bandarti Shamalachim Shaninu. We're talking about the statues that the Caesars put up for their own honor. So once Julius Caesar was killed, they put up some statue of Julius Caesar. Or when Anthony is killed, they put up a statue of Mark Anthony. So these are statues which in the town of Rebbe Meir they would worship. In other places they were just honors. I'm Rabbi Barchan Rabbi Yochlan. Rabbi Barchan explained that even Rabbi Meir prohibits, it's only Uvomdan al Pesach Medina Shaninu. When the statue is standing at the entrance to an entire region. So since it's standing at the entrance to a region, that's already a prominent statue, and that's the type of statue that they would worship once a year, and others might get confused with statues like that. But if it's not a statue in charge of in front of a region, then certainly it wouldn't be prohibited. Yeah. Right.
So how can they are admitted by Bleedy and me? What is the difference?
These statues are not being worshipped.
Ah, it's okay.
They're not being worshipped, so they're not a problem. Rabba said another distinction. Machlok is the argument to every man in the Chachamim. Is Bishel Kfarim. That's talking about the statues of small towns. And the small towns, Rabbi Meir thinks that some of them, in some of the small towns, there's worship. But the Chacham disagree. However, Avol Bishel Krachim, but in the statues of the big cities, there Yakol Mutar, and everybody agrees you can get benefit. My time, or what's the reason? Lenaya Avdi Luhu, these are made only to beautify the city. They're not made as an idolatry. What second? And these small villages, does anyone think that these statues are just for beauty? In the small villages, they're certainly made for worship. Ella, so if you're going to say something from Rabbi Yitmar, if something was taught, Achi Yitmar, this is the way it was taught. Rabbi said, Machlokas b'shel krachim. The argument is in the statues of the big cities. Because in Rabbi Meir's locale, in his big city that he lived, they would worship the statues there once a year. So he therefore said statues in all big cities, even though they're clearly made for beauty, you can't get any benefit from them, because then when you come to his big city, you also might get benefit from these statues. And these statues are Avodah Zarah statues. And the Chacham weren't worried. They say since most of the statues are not being worshipped, most people are not like Rabbi Meir's city, so therefore, in the big cities, you could benefit from the statues. Aval b'shel kfarim. But when you have the statues of the small villages, de'v'akol asurim, even the Chacham agree that they are not allowed, because in the small villages, they're worshipping these statues. So there, everybody agrees, they are not allowed.
Rabbi?
Yeah, question.
How does one gain benefit from statues?
Oh, you can sell it, make a business, buy it.
So this, they're talking about literally whether... Well, they can't be selling or buying it because these statues are already up.
Why? The city needs money. They start selling off their assets.
Well, little tourist items. The Statue of Liberty.
Or is admiring them?
Admiring is not a benefit, but that's a separate prohibition of Lo Sachanim. You can't give a compliment to Avodah Zarah. You can't give a compliment to say, oh, that's a beautiful church, or that's a beautiful...
Well, what about shade? You get shade from a statue. Does that
shade's not benefit. I mean, maybe...
It's not concrete.
But there is a Gemara that says that Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't get Gemara in Pesachim, that Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't take shade from the Beis HaMikdash. So that seems to say that maybe there is an issue. Maybe there was a Midas Chasidus, an added piety.
Could you sell a statue that's never been worshipped before to a goy? Or is that Lifnei Iver? Or is it not?
It would be Lifnei Iver if he's going to use it.
But there's like questionable Lifnei Iver. Dealt with, I guess, a couple months ago.
Well, there are issues of listening even if there are other ways in which
he could get to it,
but when he's spending money, it's not clear that that's called another way, right? Because
he could have bought it. If he could have bought it from someone else, and he buys it from you.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that's such a leniency.
So trading in the Statue of Liberty.
You can't look at the Statue of Liberty, say whether nice the statue or what it is. You cannot say
that. It's not idolatry. Nobody's worshiping the Statue of Liberty.
So you can buy and sell it.
Yeah, that's beauty, the Statue of Liberty.
That's a beauty. Okay. You have to distinguish between
them. You have to distinguish what form and role the statue plays and what purpose of it is, for sure. Okay, so now the Chachamim say that if the statue's got a stick in its hand, or an orb in its hand, or a bird in its hand, then they agree that it's idolatrous. Okay, so what's the symbolism of these things? So what is it all about? Explains the Gemara. Makal, now, the Gemara, it's a little bit confusing. The Gemara doesn't want to actually say what they're believing. It sort of puts it as a curse. So, makal, a stick, shirodes atzmo, that he rules himself, tachas kol olam kulo, underneath the whole world, kemakal, like a stick. What the Gemara means to say is the opposite. The idea of a stick is that if a statue is holding a stick, then that's a real religious sentiment, that this statue, this God, rules over the world, and this stick is his stick that he's ruling over the world with. But the Gemara doesn't say it that. It says he's ruling over himself with the world over him like a stick, because we don't want to say that the statue rules over the world. But that's really what we mean, you know, that the stick is a symbol that they're trying to communicate, that this statue rules over the world like a stick. But Tzipor, the idea of a statue holding a bird, that he grabs the whole world and he controls it like a bird in hand. And Kador, and the idea of a statue with an orb, with a sphere, a globe, that he's controlling the whole world, he's ruling the world like holding the globe. It's all in his hands.
No, but that way sometimes they have this for prestige or
the world is round.
Not ruling, you know, the kings, they had like different things, you know, holding a stick in their hand, you know.
But again,
so just the prestige, not for the...
But that's not really what, it's more than prestige, it's the ultimate prestige. They're saying that they are gods controlling things. That's what these Romans wanted to do. What's that, Jonathan?
Queen Elizabeth, she held a stick in an orb.
Did she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what they do.
All right, so this is where it comes from. Probably comes from Rome. I guess because she wants to control the world.
Well,
she wants to rule the world.
She's the head of the church in England, right? So
that's true too.
So that's
they got their things from the Catholics. Who got it from the Romans? So.
What determines an actual religion? So someone puts a Statue of Liberty and starts praying to it.
Well, the Statue of Liberty they wouldn't be able to do because it's attached to the ground. They can't create a prohibition on what's attached to the ground. But a person can't prohibit what isn't his. But if somebody owns some, you know, idol and they worship it, then yeah, it becomes a Vodou Zarah. Apparently, I mean, I've never been to India or Japan, or the Far East, but apparently there is lots of Avodah Zarah on the street corners with little, you know, outside the hotels, you have these little Buddhas and offerings. I don't know. I don't know. That's a radical statement. So, going further in this Gemara, Tana, we lived in a Braisa, the Chachamim, who say that a plain statue of one of the Roman emperors is not idolatrous, but a statue of a Roman emperor with a stick or with an orb or with a bird is idolatrous. Hosifu Aleihen, they added other forms too. If the statue is with the Roman emperor with a saif, with a sword, A tara with a crown or a tabas or a ring. Sayif, so why'd they have to add sword? Meikara savor, initially they thought, listen Baalma, it's just a sign that he was a bandit, that he was a pirate. Levasov savor, but then they realized, Shahori gesatz motachas kol olam kulo. The idea is that he can kill whomever he wants. He's got his sword, he's ruling the world, and he takes off the heads when he wants to take off the heads. So that's a sign of being the ruler. Not that it's just, you know, that he's a bandit.
Rabbi, what is the difference between a statue and a big poster, a picture of somebody?
Do they worship it?
Well, I mean, they have posters like, you know, of, let's say, big religious people.
The Rebbe.
Okay, so is there any difference there?
So, you know, I believe that I mean, I don't know Christianity much, but I think that in Catholicism there is a whole big thing about Mary, and that in the churches in Poland and all these very Catholic places, they have these big paintings of Mary and icons of Mary, so that would be just as bad. They worship, they get down on their knees and they start praying in front of this thing and they pray to her.
Our side, that would be Avodah Zarah. Big rabbis.
So this is a very interesting point. You know, this is a big change that's happened in my own lifetime. Because I remember when I was a kid, there were rabbis that would refuse to allow you to take a photograph of them, like the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe, if somebody tried to take a picture of Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, the Satmars would break the camera in my day as a kid. And I remember that in Bnei Brak, Rav Kanievsky's father, the Stipler, they would not let you take a picture of him. But it's fallen apart. I mean, now you go to Mea Sharim, you know, they're selling all the pictures of the rabbis. They have cards, they have stickers, they have albums. It has changed. It's changed. Listen, there is a pasuk. It says, "Vayu einecha ra'ot et morecha." Your eyes should see your teachers. And the Yerushalmi says that whenever you quote a rabbi, you should picture him in front of your eyes. But there was a time when their rabbis were opposed to pictures of them because of the pasuk lo taseh kol tmuna, don't make any picture. But I guess the photographers needed parnasa, so for the sake of parnasa, they were meiko.
It's a loophole, right?
I
don't know.
Yeah, is he?
No, I think we're not allowed to have any picture, even to tune out for rabbi.
That's for sure. You can't dive in front of a picture. That's for sure. Okay, so, again, initially they thought that the idea of the statue with the sword is just that he's a bandit. But then they realized that, no, the idea of the sword is Shehori Gesatz Motachas Olam Kulo, that he rules over the world, he kills whomever he wants. Atara, the crown, Meikara Savar Gdil Klili Baalma, it's just, you know, an ornament. And they said, no, it's not just like a wreath, an ornament of some sort. It's the crown of a king. It's a sign of being the king, the master. And Tabas, and the ring, Mikarasav, originally they thought, Ishtaima Ba'alma, it's just, you know, that the, you know, it's an emissary carrying the signet ring. But then they realized, no, Shachosim Esatz Matachas Kolom Kulom Misa, that he gives the final rulings, that he's the one who signs, who dies, who lives, he's the master, he's the ultimate king, he's the God, and that's why they said, no, it's idolatrous, you can't get benefit from such a statue. Then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, anything that's in the hands of the statue would already make the statue a prohibited statue. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, even a pebble in the hand of the statue, afilu kisam, even a twig. Rav Ashi asked, what about tafas biyado tzoamahu? What about a statue with a big chunk of crap, of excrement in his hand? What's that all about? What's that all about? Mi amina and kuli alma zilu ba'ape kitzoa. Is it that it's also a sign of respect for this statue? That the whole world is like excrement in his hand? He's the most prominent, most significant. He's the God. Everybody's like nothing. Odilma, Maybe it's actually it's a sign of disgrace to the statue, that the statue itself is like excrement in front of the world. The whole world's special, and he's just like some excrement in front of the world. But the world is what's special. And he's a nobody, so we don't know. We don't know. If you had such a statue with a piece of excrement in its hand, is that something that you couldn't get benefit from or not? We don't know. Yeah, Yosef, a question. Yes, Marculus, where there are stones and you throw stones, and then you had Baal Peor, where they'd go to the bathroom. That was the nature of that. Because that we learned in Sanhedrin, the things that is their worship. If that is the worship, then it's a problem.
Goes in trouble.
And you can't worship it. No. All right, next Mishnah. Hamotze Shivrei Tzlamim. Let's say you find statues, but it's only a piece of a body. It's not the whole body. So now, is that also idolatrous or not? So, Hare Elu Mutarim. That's allowed.
This happens all the time in Israel now.
That's true. Very true. That's very true. We're going to learn that in Israel we have a big problem. The underlying concept here is that if something is, deified, then it's idolatry and we can't get any benefit from it. We have a mitzvah to destroy it. We're going to see that a non-Jew can take away the status of idolatry. If a non-Jew is mevatel it, a non-Jew says, this is meaningless, it's not a god, I don't worship it, I disgrace it, then it doesn't have the status of idolatry. But idolatry of a Jew, idolatry that a Jew owns, can never be annulled, can never lose its status. So in Israel, you have a problem in all of their digs over the years. They have found idols that are Jewish idols, because we know from the book of Malachim that there was very widespread idolatry in the land of Israel. So they found in the place called Dan. Dan was where we know Yeravam ben Nevat made a temple for a golden calf. So they found idols there. So these are probably the idols of Yeravam ben Nevat. So if it's an idol of a Jew, it can never lose its identity. It can't be batel, it can't be annulled. So you need to destroy it. Which I think the UN wouldn't be very happy if somebody would go into the Israel Museum with a sledgehammer and fulfill the mitzvah of destroying the Avodah Zarah from our land. But that is the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. So that's why my father, when he would take us to Israel, he would never take us to the Israel Museum, because he said, if I go in, I may have to start breaking the glass, breaking the idols, and get arrested. So we're just not going in there. We're not going to go to those idols of Yeravam, unfortunately. Anas Rahmana Patre. Why? Why do you say that?
They put a statue over there.
There's no statue there.
They put a statue over there, Rabbi.
No, there's no statue.
Is there a statue?
It's memorial, I think. No, it's not. It doesn't have a human face.
It's
okay. A human face is a problem. There's no human face. It's just a bunch of shapes. That's okay. Nobody's worshiping it.
Gardening.
If you turn the wrong way, you'll be worshiping.
No one's going to worship a statue there. No, it's not. That's not a problem. That's a modern art. It's impressionist art. It's not a problem. So the Mishnah says, Amotze Shivrei Tzlamim. If somebody finds broken pieces of statues, Harei Elu Mutarim, they are allowed, because that's already not worshipped. Matza Tavnis Yado Tavnis Regel, but if you find the form of a hand or the form of a foot, Harei Elu Asurim, then they're not allowed. Mipnei Shekayotze Ben Neva, because things like that are worshipped, just a hand or just a foot. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel said, Afilu Shivrei Avodas Kochavim. So now, not talking about Tzlamim. Tzlamim are things that maybe were worshipped, maybe they weren't worshipped. Avodat kochavim are things that you know are worshipped. But if you see a statue that you know was worshipped and now it's broken, you have a piece of it, so that means it was nullified. So once it's nullified by the guy, you're allowed to benefit from it. So Gemara says, is that really so? Vanatam, we learned in the Mishnah Shivrei Tzlamim, the broken pieces of statues that you don't know about, not the broken pieces of idolatrous statues. So Gemara says, no, who had in that filu shivrei avodas kochavim? Shmuel's teaching you even the broken pieces of what you knew was avodah zarah. But it's still allowed since it's a broken piece. Hadak tani shivrei tzlamim. The reason why the Mishnah just mentions the broken pieces of things that you don't know what they are. Mishum de kapayla misna seifa. Because we're going to say at the end, matzah tavnes yad tavnes regel. Hare elu asurin. If you find, though, a form of a hand or the form of a foot, it is not allowed. Mipnei shekayotze ben nevad. Because those are things that are worshipped. So tana. Tznan matzah tavnes yad. So because it wants to talk about the hands of a hand or a foot, it wants to say even of the tzlamim, if you find a hand of a foot or a hand or foot, it's not allowed. So that's why he was talking about tzlamim. But the truth is, in terms of the first law of the Mishnah, that the shvarim, that the broken pieces are allowed, that's true not only with tzlamim, that's also true with avodas kochavim, that's also true with the idolatry itself. So let's talk about that law. It's not within that Mishnah. Matzah tavnes yad tavnes regla re'elu asur p'nei shekiyotz ben-nevad. If you find a hand shape or you find a foot shape, then it's not allowed because that is worshipped. Am I? But why? Vashvarim ninu. It's a broken piece. It was an idol. Now it's just the hand of an idol. That means that the idol was smashed by somebody. The non-Jew smashing the idol is a disrespect. It's a bittul. It's a nullifying of the idol. The Gemara answers, Tirgum HaShmuel Bomdin al-Basisan. It's when you found a hand with a base. There's a base of the idol, and instead of a whole idol, it's a hand on the base. So that is a full thing. So that's not been nullified. So that is not allowed. Some people worship those things.
It's a human form. Human shape of some sort.
Some people use it as a religion. Some people have that as their religion. So you don't know what it is. It's Islamim.
It could be anyone in that shape.
Whatever it is, that's their. Some of them worship these things. So then, even though probably this one wasn't worshipped, you're not allowed to because some of them worship them. So Tirgum HaShmuel, Bo'om Nalba Sisan. Right. So Shmuel said it was when they were standing on their base. Okay. So now we deal with the issues of breaking an idol. What happens if you don't break the idol breaks on its own. Itmar, we learned. Avodas kochavim shenishtabra me'ilel. Let's say you had this Mary icon in some church in Warsaw, and the icon fell and it cracked. And now they're selling the pieces of the ivory or whatever it was made out of. Can you buy those pieces? Can you get benefit from it? It broke. But it didn't break with the guy smashing it. It broke because it fell and broke. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, still not allowed because no one ever annulled it. It just broke. Shimon Lakish Amar Muteres. Shimon Lakish says it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura Dalo Batla. No one was mevatel it. No one annulled it. No one did an act of disrespect of saying it's not an idol anymore. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Muteres. Rabbi Lakish though says it's permitted because he says the guyim in their minds they are annulling it. Mistama, even though you don't know of it, but Bitulim Evitul, somebody did annul it. Because Meimar Amar, because the guy's going to say like this, E Nafshalo Atzla, if it can't save itself, Lahu Gavram Atzla, it's going to save me. It couldn't save itself. It couldn't protect itself. So how could it protect me? I mean, that's the argument we know that the Midrash says about Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu went and he smashed all the idols, and he put a stick in the hand of the big idol. So his father came back, why are all the idols smashed? He said they got into a fight over an offering. So the father said, well, how could that be? The idols can't move. So he said, well, if they can't move and they can't protect themselves, how could they be protecting you? So the Rish Lakish says that anyone who sees that something happens to the church or it happens to the icon, then they're going to say it's not a god because it couldn't protect itself. So if they say it's not a god, you have a guy annulling it. If a guy annuls it, it's not a avodah zarah anymore. Then you're allowed to get benefit from it. I remember there was a guy once, he was a student of my father, he bought a Christian broadcasting company. So this broadcasting company, they had a television channel, they had a theme park. So my father said, you know, before you buy it, get a guy to annul it. Then you can buy it, because once the guy annuls it, it's not a avodah zar anymore. But
you need one guy, or what others continue to accept it?
Apparently all you need is one.
The guy that sells your chametz.
So you bought it?
I don't know what happened in the end, but that's what my father advised him, because if the guy annuls it, then it's not a avodah zar anymore.
But Rabbi, why Hashem creates these people that they don't believe in him, and why Hashem doesn't wipe them off the face of the earth to begin with?
The idolaters.
The idolaters, yes.
Yeah, give us the chance, the free choice to overcome our urges to do the better thing, the right things. Okay, so that's what Rish Lakish says. Eis ve Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, you claim that a broken idol is now not going to be respected and therefore you can get benefit from it. We have the story of Samson, of Shimshon. So with Shimshon, he was dealing with the Philistines. The Philistines were an ocean nation. Their god was some big fish, Dagon. So we have a verse there. The verse says, "V'rosh Dagon u'shtei kapos yadav krusos." The head of Dagon and the two palms of his hand were cut off. The idol had smashed. And this verse says, "Alkein liyiduchu kohani Dagon." That's why the priests of Dagon won't walk by it. So you see, even though it was smashed, it broke, it fell, they still wouldn't walk by it. They still respected it. It's not that once it fell, they say, oh, now we don't need to respect it. Amalos, Rish Lakish said, that's not a proof. Misham Rai, you think that's a proof? Hasam shemanichin es hadagon v'ovin es hamiftan. There, when the idol broke, they said the spirit left the gone and it went into the threshold. It went into the hallway. They just said the spirit left Dagon, that's why Dagon fell, and it went onto that hallway. But they were worshiping the hallway, but they're worshiping the hallway. It's not that the idol that's broken is still being worshipped. All right, another challenge. I'll challenge you. We learned Amotze Shivrei Tzlamim. If a person finds broken shattered statues that you don't know about their identity, so Areilu Mutarim. The Mishnah says that's allowed, implying Goshivrei Avodas Kochavim. But if it's this broken shards of what was an idol, Asurin, it sounds like that's not allowed. The Gemara says the same answer we said before. No, lo te mashivri avodas kochav masur. Don't say that the shattered pieces of avodah zara are prohibited. Elaima tzlamin atzman asur. It's saying that the shattered pieces of tzlamin are allowed, to imply that the shattered pieces, the full tzlamim are not allowed. Ustama Rabbi Meir, just saying like Rabbi Meir, who says that all the tzlamim are not allowed because in his place there were tzlamim that were worshipped. And Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Midr Rabbi Meir, Nishmalu Rabbanan. From Rabbi Meir we should derive to the Rabbanan. Lavam Rabbi Meir tzlam masurim. Shivrei tzlamim mutarim. Doesn't Rabbi Meir say that the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan. To Rabbi Yochanan is the problem. Why don't you learn from Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says that the full tzlamim, the things that you don't know that necessarily they are worship, they are not allowed. But shivrei tzlamim, the broken pieces of those things are mutar and are allowed. So therefore the Rabbanan, avodas kochav nami, when you have a regular idol, he asura, that's what's not allowed. Ushvareh, but the broken pieces should be mutar. So Rabbi Yochanan will answer you. Haki ashtu, what's the comparison? Hasam emur avdum, emur lo avdum. When you have tzlamim, maybe they're being worshipped, maybe they're not being worshipped. Im timtzalom avdum, but even if they were being worshipped, now they have a broken piece. Emur bitlum. So then you have reason to think that they were annulled. People are no longer respecting them. But avodas kochavim, when you have idolatry, so idolatry certainly was worshipped. So now you have a broken piece of it. Who says that it would be annulled? Havisafek uvadai. This is a classical discussion when you have a chazaka. You had a You knew you were in a certain reality. Now, did that reality possibly change? How can you say that? You should assume that it still have the reality that you knew you had. The reality that you had initially, you should assume, is still continuing. You need a proof to say that a reality changes. So when you have an idol, you know, a Virgin Mary statue, that's being worshipped in the churches in Poland. That's you go to the market, they're selling some Virgin Mary statue, you know it was worshipped. So then you come back a day later, you see a piece of that statue. That now that there's a piece of it, they're not going to worship it? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe they still will. So it should stay prohibited. Ein safek motzi midei vadai. The possibility that maybe now they've annulled it is only a possibility. That can't stop what you knew was a pre-existing situation, that there was a prohibition. Yeah.
This is Isser Midoraita, right? So how do you expect steak or even chazaka on Isser Midoraita? Isser Midoraita l'chumim.
No, it's not. Well, we're talking about, we're saying it's not Doraisa because they're saying it's only Chayish Lemiyuta. Most people are not.
It's a prohibition. The prohibition of statues is from
correct.
Here, they're saying that there's room, perhaps there's room for a leniency because of a chazaka.
No, the opposite. The stringency because of the chazaka.
No, a leniency because if most people don't worship these idols, then the chazaka is the chazaka.
No, you're confusing tzlamim and avodas kochavim. Tzlamim are statues, some that are. Very few are worshipped. In Rabbi Meir's town, they're worshipped. Elsewhere, they're not really worshipped. They're just honors of the Roman emperor. And Avodas Kochavim are idols that are, you know, religious icons. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Gemara had asked on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir says, is Drabanan, yes. Right? The prohibition on slum was Drabanan, because most of those idols are honors, but Rabbi Meir says, if we'll allow you to benefit from those, you might benefit from the idols in my town that are being worshipped. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir prohibits tzlamim, and yet the broken tzlamim, the Mishnah says, are allowed. So we all know Avodah Zarah is not allowed, but maybe when it's broken, it should also be allowed, just like the tzlamim, according to Rabbi Meir, once they're broken, are allowed. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not comparable. In tzlamim, you know, you're dealing with doubts. Maybe this thing is going to lead to somebody worshipping somewhere. Now you have a broken piece. Once it's a broken piece, nobody worships usually, so maybe they annul. So that's already allowed. But what I'm talking about an idol. Idol was prohibited. This was an idol. This is your point, Todd. This is a biblical prohibition. It's not just any biblical prohibition. It's the biblical prohibition of Avodah Zarah. You have the biblical prohibition of Avodah Zarah. Now that it broke, that somebody said, oh, it's nothing because it broke. Who says? How do you know? Because of a suffix, you're going to stop a pre-existing reality? Ain't suffix motzi midei vadai. A doubt can't stop what was a certain reality. So the Gemara says, is that so? Ain't suffix motzi midei vadai. Is that true that when we have a suffix, we always have to assume still the original reality because that was the vadai, that was what was certain? Vatana, we have a braisa. Chaver Shemes, if you have a person who's very pious, who's careful to give away Chumas and Maestros, if he dies, and he left a drawer filled with grain, even if they were just picked today and put into the drawer today, you can assume that he gave the Chumas and Maestros, you can eat from it. We're talking about grain, right? Grain, when it's harvested and it's piled up, it becomes tevel, it becomes certainly prohibited. So we don't know that he separated the Trumas from Isos. It's a suffik asrinu. It's a suffik if he gave the Trumas from Isos. Suffik lo asrinu. The suffik is also maybe he didn't give the Trumas from Isos. Because he's suffik. And this possibility is enough to motzi midei vadai, to take away the pre-existing status of it being prohibited. And we say you can eat from it. So the Gemara says, no. Two answers. One answer is, hasam over there. Vadayu vadayu. It's not a suffix taking away from a vadai. It's a certainty taking away from a certainty. Devadai asrinu, a Talmud Chacham who's pious rushes to do mitzvos right away. Kid Reb Chanina Choza, like Reb Chanina Choza taught. I'm Reb Chanina Choza. Chazaka al chaver, sheinu motzi davar, sheinu masuka matachas yado. A Talmud Chacham is not going to allow to have around him food that's not 100% kosher. The Trumos and Maisos need to be separated from the grain. He's going to do it right away because he doesn't want to have something around him which is not fixed. By the same alternatively, It's really safiku sveiku, another answer. It's not that this is a certainty taking away from a certainty, the certainty of the Talmud Chacham taking away from the certainty of the status of Tevel. It's a doubt with a doubt. Who says it has Tevel? He's a Talmud Chacham. There are ways to get around the laws. There are loopholes. What creates the obligation of separating Chumas and Maestros is the grain being harvested and being finished, that the manufacturer is finished. The definition of the manufacturer being finished, that there was a big pile of it in the storehouse, and the pile was smoothed out. It's called miruach. It was made all smooth. But let's say he didn't make a pile of it in the storehouse. Efshar David and Reboshia, he could have done the trick of Reboshia. Damar, who said, Marim Adam, a person that can have a trick, al tfuaso, about his grain. Umachnisa b'motshala, he can bring the grain into the house when the grain is still with its chaff. The chaff is still covering the kernels. So if the chaff is covering the kernels, it's not finished. If it's not finished, there's no obligation of Chumas and Maestros. And he could do this Kadesh Day Behem to Ocheles, because he wants to feed it to the animal. Upturim and Amaiser, and he's exempt from Maestros. So therefore, it's a Safek with a Safek. Maybe there never was an obligation of Maestros. Okay, so this discussion continues to the next staff. Do we say Safek Motzi Midei Vadai or not?
Why would you think that other would employ such type of artifice?